I do want to mention on that note that we have our own missionaries here, Daniel and Marlies Hochteiling, and they're here. There you go, Daniel. And they're here for a while still, at the end of the month. And next Sunday, you'll hear him preach in the morning, but I want to invite you out specially to a special evening service with Daniel and Marlies. Come get to know them a little bit better as they share stories from Africa. And one thing that I know from meeting Daniel Marlies in Africa when I was there in June with Todd and the team, they have an infectious love for Jesus and a hunger for the things of God. And so if you come out, I guarantee you, you will never be the same again. So that's next Sunday, so watch for that. Finally, Lisa Benner. If you're here, why don't you just come right up? Hopefully you're somewhere. There you are. And Pastor Ryan, if you'd like to come up as well, Pastor Young Adults, and any other of Lisa's friends that want to come up and just stand with her. Lisa Benner is heading on a missions trip. She's leaving on Tuesday, I think. Is that right? Yep. And gone for 3 months to Burkina Faso in Africa. And so she's spending her time in the village of Bura, where one of Bridges of Hope's orphanages, actually that ROL provides monthly support to. And so, Lisa, why don't you briefly just tell us what you'll be doing there?
Sure. So I will be working mostly teaching English, but I will visit the orphanage. I'll visit those beds that you had given and take photos and things like that. And I just want to love the people there, especially the children, and yeah, just act as a support to people who live and work there already and who are already doing God's work. Just come alongside them.
That's awesome. And Lisa still needs a little bit of money to raise towards her financial needs for the trip. So if you feel you want to help out with that, come see her after the service, either in here in the sanctuary, and she can let you know how you can do that and receive a tax receipt for that. But we just want to pray right now for Lisa and send her off. And so you guys want to just gather around her and lay hands on her. And everyone out in the congregation, we want to do this together as a family. And this is the way Jesus taught it, and so this is the way we want to do it, and we're all in this. And so we just send Lisa as an extension of our body here to impact Africa, and also ask that the Lord would touch her while she's there. So, Father, we just thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for the call that you've placed on Lisa, Lord, and she's just following your voice. So, God, we ask right now for your anointing to come on her, Father. Lord, that grace, Lord Jesus, to come on her, to be able to do what only you could do through her, Father. Extend your love, pour out your love to those children through her, Lord Jesus. Would you show her a glimpse of your heart, Father, and of your passion for the poor and the hurting in other countries, Lord. God, would you change her heart, Father? Would you, as she imparts to the people there, Lord, would you impart into her, Father, from the people there, Lord? And she would come back never the same, Father. And so, God, we pour our love into her. We pour our heart into her, Father. And our desires, Lord Jesus, that you would just bless her trip. Bless her there. Keep her safe, Father. We ask you to go with her, Lord Jesus. We pray she'd see miracles, Lord. We pray, God, that you'd open the eyes of her faith, Lord Jesus. And she would just walk like Jesus walked, Father. So, God, just lift the roof off, Lord. Open the lid above her, Father, and just pour in and through her, Father. And we just love you and thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just want to take a quick second for you to see why we need to pray for young men to be saved and discipled.
Well said, well said. Oh. Too great, too great. Pastor Lawrence, would you please come up? Pastor Lawrence is going to introduce to you the pastoral support team.
Good morning. My first comment was going to be, boy, that Lisa has a lot of friends, doesn't she? But I think actually it's a great picture of the body that's happening in our rooted group as they care for one another. It's just very neat to see. So I'm really excited today to take some time to introduce to you a new ministry here at ROL that's called the Pastoral Support Team. So I come from a government background where the sign of a good project is to give it a long title and then shorten it to an acronym. So Pastoral Support Team would be PST. So anywhere else in Canada, PST would be provincial sales tax, but not in Alberta. In Alberta, it's the Pastoral Support Team. So God has blessed us here at ROL with a tremendous resource and great wealth in the people that have had past pastoral and church experience in their lives. And the individuals that I'm going to introduce to you in a moment, if we add all their pastoral experience together, we're just short of 100 years of combined experience in church and ministry. And that's wonderful. It's a great resource here. But more important than the work they did is the gifts and the calling that underlie that work. The reason they went into those things was because God had given them particular gifts and had called them to care and serve others in that particular way. And that's what we want to focus our time on through this service, is on gifts and God's calling. And so we understand that God gives grace to all of us in the form of a spiritual gift. And those gifts are given to us so that we might serve one another. And so these individuals worked as pastors, as I said, because God had called them to shepherd and to care for people in that particular way. And so I'm going to ask the pastoral support team members to come forward and just come up on the stage, and I'll make a few comments about our team. And as these people come forward, you're going to say, oh, this isn't news. I already see these people as pastors, because it's just beautiful to see that all of these individuals are already caring and ministering in this body, and you will recognize them for those gifts. But part of what we noticed here at ROL was that we had this resource, but we needed a bit of a framework, a bit of a vehicle in which to try to connect their gifts with the needs that are in our body. And so we asked these individuals to do two things. We said, would you be willing to come to our Sunday morning services with a pastor's eye? Would you come and not... And sure, you want to come and worship and you want to get something from the message, but you also want to come with it and look at it through a pastor's eye and just notice what's happening. Notice people who are new. Notice people who need prayer. Someone who's maybe a little bit hesitant to come forward to a prayer team, but sitting in the pews, and just come alongside that. Because what happens, especially in this service, there's lots of people, and as paid staff, we tend to get busy with things, and I tend to come to this service thinking I need to talk to Jim and Rudy and whoever. And so I'm running around doing those things. And so it's just so helpful to have some other people who are just aware of the needs that are there and can just extend God's grace to them right there at that point. And then the second thing that we said to them is, as in any job, when you're a pastor, there's part of pastoring that's wonderful and exciting, and there's parts of it that aren't so fun. And so we said, tell us the fun parts. What was the fun part for you? What's the part that really captured your passion, made you excited? And we're trying to connect those kinds of needs with these individuals. So some people said, well, I like to counsel. Others, I like to lead funerals and weddings. And so as those needs come up, we try to connect them. And it's just such a great help, particularly to us as staff, because as things come up, we've now got a whole resource pool of people with tremendous experience and giftings that we can use. So we wanted to recognize them publicly this morning so that you know who they are. And when one of them comes up beside you and says, I'm Pastor Mary Gale, and I want to pray with you, you know that we've recognized that gift in her, and that she is, we've authorized her to operate in that capacity. But the second thing is that we're celebrating a faithful and restoring God this morning. So we're going to talk about gifts as a fire that burns, and it can burn brightly or it can get extinguished. You can pour some water on it and it's just smoke and that kind of idea. But pastoring, as I'm sure you understand, pastoring can be a challenging place to work. And there can be really exciting and great things, but there can also be really challenging things. And all of these individuals that are here have faced disappointment. Some of them have left their church or a particular position under attack, discouraged, hurt. But what you're seeing today is that God has been working, that the Holy Spirit has been healing them, restoring them, and giving them new grace to start to operate in their gifts. And that's not to suggest that these people haven't been ministering to people. You know they have. But we really see this as the start of a new season for them, of operating and spreading God's grace here and in our community. And so I just want to introduce them to you and let you know a little bit about the things that they're passionate about. The first person I'm going to introduce isn't here. Ron Clark is part of our team, but he has a job that he works most Sundays and isn't able to be here this Sunday. Ron has a lot of years in the ministry, but really particularly like counseling and mentoring people. And so we're trying to connect him with those kinds of things. And I'll maybe start down here with Art Atkinson. Art has a real passion around sharing the gospel and new believers. And Art and Jean had a great week this week as they were able to lead a couple to the Lord this week. And so we just see in Art that real passion for sharing the gospel. He was all excited in November because he got to share a message and the senator and all the politicians were there. And if he hasn't talked to you about the bus ministry, he will today. It's not because he's excited about buses. It's because he's excited about reaching out to this community. And so those are some of the things that he's doing. Jean has a real heart around caring for younger women and mentoring them and caring for them. Art and Jean have together committed to being part of Family Night every Thursday night. They're here, not because they want to learn how to do devotions with Todd, but because they want to care for those families. And Jean is a real prayer, and she's here regularly on Thursdays doing soaking prayer with a whole group of people and just a real ministry there. And Larry Shelley has been called in our community to business, and Larry and Julie run several businesses in this community, but God's given him a new season now, where the business pressure has been lessened a little bit. And he said to me, God has given me more time, and I want to use that time to pour into marriages. He has a real heart to see strong, godly marriages, and he wants to take some time to do that. And that's such a blessing to someone like Pastor Jepp, who meets lots of young families who could use some support. And Larry and Julie are some of those people that have come alongside and do that. Alan Woodruff, we know well, and you can tell that he's a guy who connects with the young people, given his sporty jacket.
Up the Brits.
So Alan has a whole host of gifts around teaching and praying for people, God's Spirit. He's just really in tune with God's Spirit and sees needs and just is very ready and willing to step in there and pray with people and care for them. Work with them around baptism and new believers and so on. Mary Gale was the children's pastor at ROL for almost 10 years, and she still has that heart for kids and that ministry. But God's placing a new burden on her heart right now around women's ministry in this church. And so we're just working together with her right now, exploring what that might look like and how she might come alongside and support some of those areas in our church. And then at the end is Roger Halverson. We think of Roger as our community chaplain. He's someone who has great opportunities, has lots of connections in the community, works in the community, meets a lot of people. And so God's just given him lots of opportunities to care and come alongside people who aren't necessarily here Sundays. And we have lots of requests come into the office, and we spread these things around, the people saying, I need someone to do a funeral or a wedding, and all of these men do that from time to time, but that's an area that Roger's really strong in. We get lots of positive reports back from those families where he steps into really often, like say around a funeral, it's a difficult time, but he steps in and just really ministers God's grace to those families and just goes out from us to do that. So that's our team right now. We expect that it's going to grow as we identify more people that have gifts in this area, and we're going to add them. But we want you to know who they are. About a year ago, we installed 5 new pastors. I was one of those. And we said we wanted to have more people around. Well, here's another 7 of folks who are here. They're here to care and work with us. So Todd's going to come, and we're going to pray and...
Lawrence, just before I
turn my attention to the pastoral support team. You, if you'd phoned into the church office this week, may have heard a new voice there that was previously unfamiliar to you. If you read your bulletins, we have a new office coordinator, and I imagine he's probably here. This is Rob Seib at the back, holding his beautiful daughter, and we want you to get to know him. And a little bit of a blurb that we have in the bulletin about some of the reasons why we brought Rob, but he has a heart to, he just moved from Regina, Saskatchewan, has a heart to go back and plant a church there. And so he'll both be filling some space here, filling some gaps of responsibility, but also we'll be training him to go back and plant a church there on the other side. So on another opportunity, I want you to be able to get a chance to know him and to know his heart. I agree with what Lauren said, that one of the greatest resources that we have as a church is that we have so many people of previous pastoral experience who cover so many bases and are so precious to us and helpful to us in so many ways. And so what we want to do is maximize the use of that resource. One of the changes that must occur when a church grows is that the lead pastor or senior pastor must share out pastoral responsibilities, must delegate them and put them out on as many shoulders as possible. And that's what Pastor Bill did, and that's why I'm here today. So he had led the church for many years, and the church got to a place where there's no way he could cover all of those bases, and probably knowing his heart, he wouldn't even want to cover all those bases. And so he brought in other people, many, many people through the years, but more recently would have been Daniel and then myself. And so my being here today is because he did this one time. And there must have been teething pains when he began to share out pastoral experience. There must have been people that thought, that Todd guy, he's a bit loud when he preaches. And get that Pastor Bill up there again. You know, and probably when I go to visit someone, they're probably thinking, well, it's like getting a backbencher, Todd. Like, well, I want to get Pastor Bill to visit me. And but more and more, I feel like what he did is, his responsibility changes the church in large. He doesn't have to cover every base. His job was to make sure that all the bases were covered. And by providing numbers of other pastors, and in a sense, he pastored the whole church through us so that we were his hands extended and he was doing things through providing us. And I just so appreciate that because that's how I got my start. And as our church enlarges and grows, I want to carry that same spirit. It's not my job to cover every base in the church. And that's far from my heart. Just want to be able to provide lots of good people to cover those bases. And in the same way, there might be some teething pains that maybe when I came here 6 years ago, I had lots of time on my hand and could go meet with anybody. And you may find that that has shrunk and I don't have that anymore. But what I have done is my absolute best to provide lots of good people to carry out pastoral responsibilities at the church. And this is definitely an example of that, these six or seven individuals. So as we turn our attention to install them and pray for them this morning, one of the questions I'd like to ask is, if you have witnessed the hand of God on one or more of these individuals, and your attitude is, oh yeah, there's no surprise to me that that person is being installed because I've seen the pastoral call on that person, then I'm wondering if you would just stand to your feet if you feel like you've witnessed that. Right. Now we're... Wonderful. Well, thank you. I know that when you're new and growing church, there's so many new people that you won't know everybody here. Now the rest of you, maybe you would you just stand and join them and join with me, and I'm going to ask Pastor Bill to come. We're not going to anoint them all with oil again, or they're going to, three services, they'll have a severe acne problem tomorrow. But we're going to still, we want to pray for them. One of the reasons why we want to do this publicly is because we are very, very confident in these six individuals. We want you to look to them. We want you to respect them. We want you to think of them as part of the pastoral team of the church. And so this wouldn't be strange if someone asked Mary Gail, what did you do at the church? I'm one of the pastors. It wouldn't be strange if says Alan, what do you do at the church, or Roger, or any of these. I'm one of the pastors of that church, because they really are. And so our walking this out in a public way today is so that they feel that this has been done publicly. There is no doubt what we are doing today, the confidence that comes with that, and that you know that. And we're happy to pray a prayer today and to really inaugurate you and set you into place and pray that the Lord will really work through that. Pastor Bill, why don't you pray for them all, and then I will.
Let's pray together. Father, we think as we do this today how often this has been done over the last 2,000 years, that you have placed your hand upon people, called them to your service, and equipped them and anointed them with your Spirit to serve you and to advance the kingdom of God. And so once again, Lord, we're witnessing that. We're witnessing a congregation recognize the gifts that you have given. And Lord, we remember that's exactly what you told us in the Bible, that these ministries are gifts to your body. And so we want to thank you for everyone here this morning. Thank you for these pastors. And we ask you, Lord, to bless them and anoint them in every way. We pray that you will just use them mightily among us and in our community. We pray, Father, that you'll open doors that seem to be shut. And Lord, we'd pray that you will shut doors that they shouldn't go through, and that you will just use them to bless your church and this community and bring glory to Jesus. We just want to give you thanks for them today in your name.
Heavenly Father, I add my prayers to this. We want to publicly say what is being given to these individuals. We believe from your word that authority is never taken and it's never assumed, but that it's granted. And so what a joy it is to grant that today. Lord, we thank you not just for the gifts that they possess. We thank you for the gifts that they are. The gift that is Roger Halverson. Thank you. And if we thank you for the gift they are, then their gifts will flourish. Thank you for the gift, Lord, that is Mary Gale. We install her today to this place. Thank you for the gift that is Alan Woodruff. We install him today. Lord, thank you for the gift that is Larry. May his gifts flourish. For the gift that is Jean, and for the gift that is Art, and for the others that will come and join this group, thank you, Lord. Thank you. May their pastoral care, may their pastoral gifts, all the gifts that you've given them, may they be filled freshly with the Holy Spirit. May they feel that what they do not on their own strength or prowess, or even just out of the confidence of their experience, but they do out of the power of God in the presence of the Holy Spirit. So fill their cup, Lord. Be like wind in their sails, and any place in them that has laid dormant, any part in them that has been inactive, any part that is lacking security or lacking confidence and therefore is reserved and held back, Father, we ask that you would change those things and that you would move them along, that your power would be in them, and they'd find that anything that has ever operated in them before is now doubling in effect. Like Elijah, Lord, who asked for a double anointing, we ask that you'd place double on them, work doubly through them than ever before. So we bless them in Jesus' name and install them to be part of the pastoral ministry of this church. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Why don't you give them, just to show your appreciation of them,
So we were excited to be able to do this today, but it occurred to me as I started to think about this service that perhaps you might pick up a message that we hadn't intended to send this morning. That you might be sitting there this morning saying, well, those people are important. Or they're somehow special or unique or different than me. And in fact, we do this kind of thing because we're committed to seeing each of you walk in the area that God has gifted you in. And so I want to take the rest of our service to think a little bit about gifts. And typically, in my experience, when the church talked about gifts, we went to that list of all those things, prophecy and healing and hospitality, and there were different kinds of lists, and we would talk about what those things are, but I'm not going to do that today. I want to start by just saying, what do we mean when we talk about a gift, even? What does that mean? We talk about spiritual gifts. So let's start by just having a clear understanding of what a gift is. Romans 12 and verse 6 says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them. So it's interesting if doesn't reveal this in English, but in Greek, the two key words there, gifts and grace, are very closely connected. In fact, gifts is the word charisma, and the word grace is charis. So if we mix the Greek and the English together, it might read, having grasmas that differ according to the grace that has been given to us. So they're the same thing. So we could think about gifts as a gift, as an endowment of grace that God has given you to serve within the community. And grace is something that we understand. We understand that God has favor toward us and that grace is connected to salvation and that, that's part of what happens, that God's grace is extended to us at the point of salvation. But it continues to do that, that God's grace is made visible, or we get to see God's grace through different kinds of things. And one of those would be gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7 says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So it's a way of allowing us to see God's grace, because grace isn't something it's not like a pulpit or flowers or something, right? So I think in the history of the church, sometimes the church has said, well, God's grace is only extended through a small window of things. And they talked about that God's grace was extended to people through the Word or through communion or through baptism. And so I think what happened out of that is that we tended to see God's grace as only being extended through a small group of people, the people who administered those kinds of things. But these verses, in fact, tell us something different, that God's grace is made available through all of us, and that there are lots of ways that God's grace is extended to us through worship and giving and fellowship and prayer. All of those things reveal God's grace to us, and gifts are one of those things. Now, when we read Romans 12 and it says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given me, you might be tempted to think, well, that means some people have more grace and some have less. And the people that were up here obviously have lots of grace, but I'm only the keeper of a small amount of grace, and so I have less responsibility maybe. But look then at 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. It says, to each, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So it says each of us has received a gift. It's available to all of us. And it says that we are stewards in that gift. We are taking care of God's varied grace. It has many facets. So it's like a diamond that has all those different faces. And that's what makes it sparkle. And so we should expect to see God's grace sparkling across our congregation in all of us. I was standing at the back of the sanctuary at the end of the 9 o'clock service a few weeks ago. And Blake Waters, who many of you know, was praying up here with people, as he often does after the 9 o'clock service. That's one of the areas he's gifted in. And someone came up to me at the back and said, who's that guy at the front I want to get to know him. There's something special about him. Now, they weren't saying that because Blake is particularly dynamic when he prays or because he's particularly good looking. What they were seeing was God's grace as Blake prayed with that individual. What they weren't seeing Blake. What they were seeing was God. And that's what happens. That's what happens when grace, when you allow God's gift to be manifest in you, you allow God's grace to be extended through you, God's light starts to shine from you to that other person. And so, one of the other things that we've been wanting to do is to just give you some more opportunity to hear from our elders. And we thought this would be a good service to do that in. Because our elders, when we start to, the people that pop up on Todd's radar around eldership are people who are operating in their gifts. And we start to see God's grace working through them as they're part of this body. And so Sean Cook is going to come and tell you a little bit about his journey of understanding his gifts and so on. When I asked Sean, he said, oh, that's really kind of scary for me. And I thought, isn't that strange? He's up here playing the piano. That would scare the pants off me. So, Sean, please.
Thanks, Lawrence. I will admit that this is a little bit intimidating for me to be up here and that it is a lot more comfortable to sit back there behind the piano. I'm finding that this thing doesn't give me a lot to hide behind. The piano definitely does. So I did agree to share a little bit of my story. Lawrence asked me to share with you a little bit of my journey on how I've come to operate in my gifts and the process that that's taken me on. So for anyone who doesn't know, my name is Sean, and I am an elder here at River of Life. For me, the process and the journey of coming to use my gifts started here in this body, and it continues here with River of Life today. I may be jumping the gun a bit here because I think Lawrence is going to go to this passage of Scripture in a bit, but I want to start just by sharing a little bit of this Scripture from 2 Timothy. It's in 2 Timothy 1, verse 5 through 7, and it says, this is Paul writing to Timothy. He says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So we see here that there's an element of faith in Timothy that was nurtured through his family and was passed on to him through his grandmother and through his mother. And we recognize that this faith is connected to a gift of God which is in him through Timothy. And I think that Paul, in writing this to Timothy, meant to do more than just to remind Timothy that he has a mother and a grandmother. I think that there's something intimately connected in his faith to his family. And like Timothy, I can relate in a lot of this passage, actually. I can relate to Timothy because my first introduction to Christ was also through my mother, who, when I was a small child, she took me to church at First United when she was on her own spiritual journey. So it was at First United that I first came to hear about the Lord, and through fellowship at First United and then First Congregational that I came to know the Lord. It was also in those fellowships that my father came to know the Lord, and through his battle with cancer that he ultimately lost. But that was a gracious gift of the Lord to our family. In later years, my mom met and married Rob at First Congregational Church. So you can see how my family just continues to be part of this congregation. I was adopted then into the sort of larger Potvin clan. At the time, the Potvin clan, this congregation wasn't 500 or 600 people then, and the Potvin clan was probably about half of the congregation then. So I met my wife here at River of Life, and today we're privileged and blessed to bring our two boys here to worship. It was also at River of Life that we were blessed to see my grandfather come to faith here in this body. So you can see that the idea of church family for me personally is, it's literal in the sense that I've worshipped here at this body with my, personal family for as long as I can remember. But I also think that the idea of church family in a spiritual sense hasn't been lost on me. It says at the beginning of John that we've been reading through, that if we receive Jesus, we are born of God and are thus considered his children. So in that sense, we're all siblings. We're all family in this body. It also says in the word that Jesus said that I will build my church. And he's using literally the language there of building a house for his family. So this idea of church family that was literal for me has also extended into a spiritual notion of church family. And so for many of you, I think that you can relate to my story. Many of you are familiar with my story personally because you've worshiped alongside me for many years. We've participated and you guys have encouraged and identified gifts within me. And then I've been able to use those gifts alongside you. So I think trying to think about what I was going to speak about today, I was thinking of all the people in this congregation who have had such a meaningful impact on identifying gifts in my life and calling out those gifts in me. You know, I think of Marcia when she was our youth pastor, and Cecilia Harmon, who was my children's pastor as a child, and Debbie Inglesby, and so many, I mean, Todd recently, and James Syrat, and Ryan, people who just identify gifts in me, Lawrence, who calls me up here against my will, and but that is, you know, this is the point of a church family, is that we see each other, we pray for each other, we interact with each other, and we identify a calling and a gift within each other, and that has been very much true in my experience. So over the years, I've served in varying capacities in this church. Literally, one summer, I mowed the lawn, climbed up and down the hills, and just about got eaten alive by the lawnmower as it would go down. I've also taught Sunday school and been involved in the worship team, and today I'm serving as an elder. And every one of those things have been a unique blessing in my life. So I just to go back to the verse that I read before, you know, this the idea that Lawrence will probably speak more of, it's to fan into flame. So this idea of gifts, that the graces that God has given to us, and then that many of you have identified in me, and many of you probably have similar stories of other people who have identified gifts in you. But ultimately, it's our responsibility to fan into flame those gifts within ourselves. And ultimately, I've failed in a lot of those cases. There's been gifts that I know exist within me that some of you have come and challenged me to do things, and I've ignored those, that my flesh and my fear has caused me to escape from those things. But exercises like this that remind us of the motivation, the love, that brings out those gifts and that desire to serve are great, great reminders. So sometimes all it takes is to regain sight of that, of the love that that motivates our service, to reignite our enthusiasm, and to draw upon the self-discipline, the spirit of self-discipline that the Lord has given us. So thank you, Lawrence. Am I under time? Over time? Perfect. All right. Thank you.
Thanks so much, John. Well, I think that's just the first of a series that he's going to start now. So, what's your heart's response to these stories that you've heard this morning? Is it, well, that's real nice for them? Or maybe you're thinking, oh, I used to think like that, but then you fill in that blank. Something happened. Or, you know, I just don't think I have anything to offer. Or maybe you say, well, that's for the young folks. I've sort of been there, done that. Or maybe you're just trying to say, you know, I'm not sure what that looks like. What does that gift look like in me? I'm not sure how to start. So we want to talk a little bit about what might be some obstacles for you to start to move in that gift that God has given you. And we're going to look, as Sean said, at 2 Timothy 1 and verses 3 through 7 there. And we'll just read them so that you get the beginning part. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. And he goes on in verse 7 to say to Timothy, don't be ashamed. And so it's pretty clear that Paul was noticing in Timothy that the flame of his gift had been neglected. It had started to die. And we all know how that works, right? You're out camping and you have that fire and you stay up late into the night, and even if the flames have gone down and it's just flickering, and then you think, well, we're going to shut it down for the night, and someone gets the bucket of water, even if there's only small flames, you put that water on that fire, there's smoke and hissing, and what was just 2 seconds before an inviting place, a place for great conversation, becomes just this mess of smoke and hissing and nonsense, and everybody's going to bed after that, right? I think it's the same thing happens when fear and shame are part of our response to God's gift. So I wonder what was happening for Timothy. Why was there fear and shame in his life around the use of his gift? And so I just look back a little bit about what do we know about Timothy? Well, we meet Timothy first in Acts chapter 16. Paul is on a missionary journey and he comes back to some churches that he planted, and he is introduced to a young man, Timothy. And it says in Acts chapter 16 that everyone spoke highly of him. And it says, goes on to tell us, that his mother was a Jew and his father was a Greek. And that this was sort of common knowledge in his town where he grew up. And from the passage that we just read, it would appear that his father wasn't part of his faith story. His father isn't mentioned. Paul talks rather about his grandmother and his mother. So you can imagine, for Timothy, what his family situation meant for his view of the world, and how many opportunities there would have been for his background as part Jew and part Greek, his place in the church as in a society that was male dominated, where his father was not a believer but his mother was. And you think of all the opportunities that there would have been for someone to say to Timothy somewhere along his journey, you can't, or you don't have it, or you won't ever, or any of those kinds of messages. You're not worthy because you're not really part of the Greeks, or you're not really part of the Jews. All kinds of opportunities for people to say those kinds of things for him, and for him to pick up a message that says, because of something in his past, that he was not fit and not able to operate in his gift. Perhaps it's a part of what's happening for Timothy is that he's in a different role. When we see him in Acts 16 and Acts 17, he's at the cutting edge of Christianity. He's on Paul's team, and they're moving from town to town, and they're being persecuted, and lots of people are coming to know Christ. Churches are being established. People are opposing it, but they're being escaped, and God is showing marvelous examples of his power. People are being healed. They're being rescued out of prisons and all kinds of exciting things like that. But now, in 2 Timothy, he's in one place. He's alone. Paul is in prison. So things aren't going as well as they used to be. There's persecution. Christianity maybe isn't quite as fun as it used to be. And so there's a change in his role and in his circumstance. And I wonder sometimes if we don't see that from some of our young people when they come back from a short-term mission project. And wherever they went to Africa or the Philippines, and it's exciting and there's lots of need and God uses them in marvelous ways. And then they come back to Lethbridge and it's like, I don't know. I'm not sure where I fit, and I don't know where my gifts lie in this place, and somehow it doesn't seem as needful. There's all these people and the needs aren't as great. And so a change in role or opportunity in a different season of your life might extinguish that flame a bit. The other thing we noticed about Timothy was in chapter 5 of 1 Timothy, Paul says to give some instruction to Timothy about his frequent illness. So I wondered if maybe Timothy's just tired. He's just wore out. Maybe there's an ongoing physical kind of thing for you that's just taken away the flame of your gift, and you're just struggling to do that. So I think regardless of if you can relate to any one of those kind of situations that might give you some hesitation about your gift, the Holy Spirit wants to heal and restore, just as we talked about with the pastoral support team. Part of what the Holy Spirit wants to do is to bring healing for you around those issues. 20 plus years ago, I said I would never do this kind of thing again. But God's been working. And now, so here I am. So there's a couple of other things that we can see about Timothy from the passage that we read. Is that, as Sean said, Timothy has a legacy of faith, right? He talks about his grandmother and his mother. So he's a third generation believer, which we say, well, that's not so unusual today. But it was probably very unusual in Timothy's time because the church is very young. So he's unique in that sense, in that he's got a legacy of faith that has come through three generations. And Paul is very clear to him that his faith is real. He says, you have a sincere faith. It's honest. It's true. So he's not a new Christian. He's well established in his faith. And Timothy has a great mentor and supporter in Paul. Paul says at the beginning of those verses how much he's hoping to see him, how he's praying for him on an ongoing basis. So he's got a champion. He's got a guy cheering him on in the background. And his gift was imparted to him through the laying on of Paul's hands. And so it wasn't that he, as Sean said, sort of tried some things and they sort of worked out. Paul actually laid his hands on him and said, this is the gift that God has placed on you. And so he's really got some really great things going for him. But he's afraid. So if there's some fear in your heart about how you might start to operate in your gifts, let's not be surprised about that. If it was there for Timothy, why wouldn't it be there for us as well? And I think the reason for that is that our faith, as Sean pointed out, there's this really strong connection between our faith and our gift. Paul says, for this reason. Well, what's the reason? What's the reason to flame your gift? It's the faith. So those two things are very much connected. And as you grow in your faith, the gift will come along with it. So over the last few months, we've talked lots about brokenness, and lots of you have been healed, and God's working in your life. But he's not doing that so that you feel comfortable. And you can say, well, I'm growing, and I feel good, and I feel more at peace, and I'm not discouraged. The result of your faith getting stronger is going to be that your gift is going to start to come out. The two have to go together. And I think that's why, so not only do they work together, but as Sean pointed out, they happen within a community. Paul says it happened through the laying on of hands. Now that doesn't mean you don't have a gift because no one's ever laid hands on you and prayed you for a gift. I think what it means is that a gift happens in this setting, in the setting of the body. And that, just as Sean said, as he started to do some things, people called those gifts out of him. One of the best things that we can do in this body is to help each other see the gifts that we have. A gift we're used to, before we start something, we're used to, we get some training. I went from the government, where I was essentially a social worker, to designing and installing geothermal heating systems. And people would come to me and say, are you an engineer? And I would say, well, no, actually, my degree's in history. So that doesn't work, right? So I had to take courses. I had to take courses about how to do that. And the thing you wanted out of the course was this little certificate that said, Lawrence Kopp is certified to make geothermal systems. And now then it was okay. But gifts aren't like that, right? You're not going to get a little certificate that says, Corey Hunt is certified as an evangelist. It's not going to work that way. But as a body, we're going to see that gift in Corey, and we're going to affirm him in it, and we're going to call that out. And that's what happens in the body. So, because all these things are unseen, and they're a little bit, there isn't a course you can take, we shouldn't be surprised that you would have some hesitation and some fear. Not big issues of fear about things in the past that God wants to heal you from, but there's going to be some sense of unease about moving in this direction. And I'm going to suggest to you this morning that not only shouldn't we be surprised at it, we should welcome it. Because I think fear is necessary for you to fan into flame the gift that's in you. Paul says to Timothy, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. So this is not a commander talking to his troops and saying, all right, men, we've got a big task ahead of us. This is not a time for fear. This is a time to go for it. Let's do this thing. That's how I used to read those verses. Right? It's about me, okay, all right. I got gifts, let's do it. That's not what this is about. I think there has to be a sense of inadequacy when you start to move in your area of gifts. There has to be a sense of dependence. If you're setting about to say, I think God's called me to work with Jep with the kids, and you think you've got it all figured out, and you know kids, and you're a teacher, or you have this training with kids, and you can do it all, where's the room for the Holy Spirit? If the way a gift is fanned is when there is a gap between what the situation calls for and what you have to offer. This space that you can't fill is the space where the Holy Spirit comes. Because gifts are used to serve others, they involve other people, it's going to be risky. It means you have to give of yourself. And our tendency around fear is to protect the peace and say, well, yeah, I don't mind working, but I'm not letting this one out of the box. Folks, that's the peace we need. That peace you want to protect is the peace we need. So I think fanning into flame is like a campfire. When I was growing up, we did camping out at West Castle, and they had these goofy camp stoves. And they're still around. I think there's still some at Henderson. They're on a pole about so high, and it's sort of a shoebox-shaped thing that comes up, and then there's a chimney, right? And it's only open on the front side of the shoebox. And you can push the wood in there. And I think it was designed to try to keep fires small so you didn't burn down the forest kind of idea, right? But it's not a really good setup for a campfire in that you can only see the flames if you're sitting right in front of the box, right? Unless you really stoke it up and the flames start to shoot out the top. The only good thing about those camp stoves was that they could rotate on that pole. And so if you arrived at your campsite and that the opening of the stove was here, but the wind was blowing from there, you could turn it around and get that wind to blow into that fire. And invariably, you were working with wet wood, and so you needed that little bit of air blowing across that wood and off the start of your fire to make it burn. And I think that's the same thing that we need when we talk about fanning into flame our gift. It's going to involve you taking some risk. It's going to involve you stepping into an area where you don't have everything that it takes. And that's where this spirit of power and love and self-discipline will come in. That's not something you're going to drum up on your own. That's what happens when God starts to work through you. You know, just a few examples. Paul says, of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. Self-control is one of the fruit of the Spirit. It's power and love and self-discipline. That's not something you're doing. That's something the Holy Spirit is doing. So as Joe comes and the team come to do one more song of worship with us, I want you to consider what might the Holy Spirit be prompting you to do that would allow your gift to burn a little brighter. Perhaps you're at a place where you just need to start to recognize that you might even allow for the possibility that God has given you a particular gift. That's where you want to start. And you just have to start with that and say, okay, I want to start working on that. Perhaps you recognize that you're involved in something, but you're doing it on your own. You haven't allowed even any space for the Holy Spirit. You only think about it and operate about it in terms of what you can bring to it. And you need to just acknowledge that there is, in fact, a space for the Holy Spirit. Perhaps you just have some real fear around things that have happened in your past that the Holy Spirit wants to heal you from. Perhaps you're discouraged about a new set of circumstances, a new season in your life that you just need God's power and strength for. Perhaps you're tired and ill. I mean, you just need to ask someone to come and pray for you around that illness. But I want you to consider, as we sing this song, I want you to think for a few moments about what would it take to turn your face into the wind of the Holy Spirit around the areas that you're gifting in. What is God asking you? What risk might he be asking you to take? That you would step into something. It's here. There's lots of opportunities here. It's in your community. It's with your family. Where do you want to, what is God asking you to do that would allow the breath of his Spirit to start to blow on your life and turn those coals into a flame again?